Welcome to WebX, practical web accessibility tips. Hi, welcome to WebX. This is your host, Dennis, and this is podcast number 35, Usability Conference at MSU. Before we get into that, just a couple quick announcements. The first one is on Accessify. Accessify.com, there is a post that just went up mentioning the Patrick Lauke interview on WebX that was put up 2 or 3 weeks ago. And there's also a really good transcript available, and it has plenty of links and everything. So if you don't want to listen, or if you want to review the podcast, I know it went a little long, then check out that transcript. The link is on that WebX posting, as well as the Accessify.com posting of the interview. The other note is, let's see, I got an email from Nick, and he says, "Hi, mate. Firstly, I can say thanks for a great podcast. It's excellent to listen to. It's given me lots of tips. Thanks, Nick." And he goes on to ask about Treatosoft or Treatosoft, the multiple IE software. And he asked, "I wonder if you guys had managed to properly test the software to see if it's 100% the same as having the relevant version or browser, if there are some variations." And he goes on to ask about any disadvantages of doing that. So my answer is, honestly, Nick, I haven't tried it. I have three computers, I think, well, two of them are mine, for my full use. One computer I have IE6, the other computer I have IE7, and that's how I test. I personally haven't taken the chance on installing those standalone versions of IE, so if anyone out there has any experience with that, please leave some comments on the WebX blog, or even better, call in and leave a message, and the number, or just call in anyway, leave a message about something. The number is 206-203-0585. Okay, so now for the feature for this podcast is last week, November 14th, Ross Johnson, the usual co-host, and I went to the 4th annual Usability and Accessibility event at Michigan State University in East Lansing, Michigan, and it took place on World Usability Day. There were, I think, a few hundred events, I believe, throughout the world, lots of countries about usability. So every year they hold that at Michigan State, and it went really well. So the rest of this podcast is just going to be it's going to be pretty entertaining, I think. It should be it just follows me and Ross throughout today. I leave some comments, and we speak to some various people on what, you know, why they're there and their relationship with usability and accessibility and everything. So it's pretty neat. So without further ado, here it is. Annual Usability and Accessibility event at MSU in Lansing, Michigan.
We're a little late.
Yeah. I called Ross. It starts at 9. It's like an hour, hour and a half away. Yeah. I called him at 7:30. We were supposed to meet, and I said, I'm on my way. I just got up 10 minutes ago.
And I decided to take side streets, which apparently didn't work so well because Dennis beat me there.
Yeah, I ended
at 7:30.
I ended up beating them there a good 5 minutes. But we're on 96, got the cruise control on 80, so we should still make decent time, hoping to go buy a Starbucks maybe.
Yeah, I definitely need coffee, especially for a conference.
For sure. Okay, that's it for now. We'll give another update later. Okay, Ross and I just made it to the conference. We're sitting down, grabbed some coffee, thank God. I'm here with Carissa
Demetris
from Menlo Innovations.
Yes.
And do you know Barbara, or what brings you here?
I know Barbara and I know Dave Metropolis. I'm also in usability and design, so this conference is an excellent exposure to many different topics in usability.
That's for sure, and that's why we're all here. And what does Menlo Innovations do, and what is your position?
Menlo Innovations is a design firm, and they do design and building of software products. I'm a high-tech anthropologist with Menlo Innovations, and what I do is I observe users in their native environment, and I record what they do, and I make sure that we can make a product that's most usable for them.
Great. Sounds excellent, Carissa. And so I will be sitting next to her, at least for this morning's session. That will be very enjoyable. It was nice to meet you.
Thank you very much.
Dave just got done speaking on analyzing several websites, which was mostly good. And I'm here with Gunther from the Bishop Company, or Explainers is their main brand, I guess, now.
Yes, and I'm here with a couple of teammates. We have Meg and Shauna as well.
So,
yeah,
pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure meeting you. I came over and introduced myself. They specialize in...
We specialize in a range of different things. We mostly work with different industries such as defense, Department of Defense, healthcare, government, automotive, industrial manufacturing. But our goal and our focus, perhaps our niche, is a high-end product, high-priced product that cannot sacrifice a large margin of error. So we focus on creating visual work instructions, getting rid of the documentation and the paperwork, and try to let the pictures speak for themselves.
Excellent, excellent. And you're at the usability conference as for that work that you do, or for your corporate website, or both?
Well, actually, for a little bit of both. We have to understand the user for all of the work that we do, from the work instructions all the way to the website. We've seen a great influx in traffic coming into our site. However, we believe that there's always a better step, a way to improve our traffic into our site. So by coming to today's session, we want to make our site very friendly to the incoming traffic, and we want to be able to present them with the work and the samples and the information that they need to make that final decision.
Great. And your website is
www.explainers.com.
So it's lunchtime now, and I'm having a Reuben sandwich, having some delightful conversation. We have Carissa and Deborah and Ross and Robert joining me here, and I guess they stopped talking because I started talking into my iRiver here, but it's some very interesting usability discussion. Okay, it's intermission. They have some awesome, the donuts are okay, but the pumpkin pie is really good, so they didn't even have to ask me what I wanted, and the pumpkin pie was here, so. I'm with Heather
Benoit
at the University of Michigan Center for the Advancement of Clinical Research, and she was, I believe, the first guinea pig in the workshop this morning for her website, and how you doing, Heather?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much.
Good, good. What did you think of the analysis, usability analysis of your website this morning?
I thought it was pretty good. I think I was anticipating a little bit more constructive criticism, but I think some of the highlights I got from that was pretty good. But for the amount of time that he could do each site, it seems like it was a decent amount. But it did seem to be like a trend, though. Every single site seemed to have very similar problems.
Yeah. I think Ross noticed that. This
kind of focused on similar things for all the different sites.
Right. I think I was hoping that there'd be different ones. But, like, maybe he would have chosen sites that had different problems so that we could have gotten more
problems. I really should have raised my hand, because I had two or three comments that I made after the workshop was over to a couple people. Just like on the flash animations, there could have been some kind of controls to like pause and restart like some of them, or maybe segment out the side navigation into to different sections, or to help the user identify the different sections of this.
Right, that was one thing. He seemed to not be giving suggestions. He pointed out what was wrong, but then when someone would ask him for like, well, what would you do?
I don't know.
The tagline.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of funny that he didn't have like a, well, you should do it this way as opposed to that way. But That being said, that some of the ideas were really good.
So, what is your specific position at University of Michigan?
I am a project manager, and I specifically manage the Engage project right now, which is, it's an IT project, but it's also like a community engagement project.
So it's specifically that website? Or is it more than the website?
It's more than the website. It's more than the website. But that's one of our biggest parts, because our audience is people that are online. So it's like the biggest part of it, essentially.
Okay.
So what are some of the things that he discussed about your website, and what do you think of what he had to say about it?
And we're referring to Dave...
NR is what they're calling him here.
Yeah, with the really long last name. The usability specialist.
I think he said that we were missing a tagline, which I totally agree. We were.
Right.
We also didn't have a very good division of audience. So we had two audiences that were looking at staff and public, and there was not really a good way.
Yeah, I thought that was a good point also.
Yeah, it definitely was. And then we also, he pointed out that one of our audiences, our public, is an emotional type of thing that we're doing, because we do clinical research, and so people tend to get involved. I mean, some people get involved for money, but a lot of people get involved for an emotional reason. And we don't really, you know, the website is definitely a little bit detached. It doesn't really have like a warm fuzzy for that audience. And so I think his advice was maybe you should create a warm fuzzy avenue. And I think it's a good point. I think that we can go back.
So cater, in other words, cater to one of the major focus groups of your website, and that's to family or people that are emotionally attached in one way to the research that you're doing.
Exactly. And one of the sites had, when you first went in, had that, like, you could choose which audience you were to kind of to enter. They didn't go into the site, but I can't. It was one of the marketing firms. So.
Yeah, where it was
the international one.
Bottom,
yeah,
I think it was.
Like what country and then what are the four bullets?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then it had
the prosthetics.
Exactly. Yeah, and then, I thought that was a good idea of just like right from the beginning having like a billboard entrance, and then have dividing and saying if you're this career, if you're that career, so it's sort of like the portal.
You can really get specific with your content for your audience.
Yeah, and I think that would be a good idea for us, actually.
Yeah.
One of the challenges we have is that we're at a big university, so we have to use the templates that the university uses. So we don't have a lot of options. So when I go back and say, I want to do this billboard thing with these options, you know, it's going to be really difficult to implement. Because you just, if you're in a big, I don't know what the right word, I don't want to make it too negative, but you just seem to have to follow what they want to do for the whole university. You know, you only have so many options.
Yeah.
So...
They're talking about that, but before they had to get everything branded and looking the same.
Right, exactly.
And
the Michigan State, like when he went to different school, you know, the school looked different. And he did it on U of M site too. And I think he pointed out, oh, this looks really different. Well, yeah, but you have like how many different departments in the university? You know, they all want to look different. So it's just, it makes it challenging that way.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm going to pause the recording, but Heather, thank you for...
You're welcome.
For joining us, and we're going to enjoy the rest of the day.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay, so it's still intermission, and I'm with Mike Beasley from CompuWare, and he unfortunately has to commute all the way from Ann Arbor into Detroit, but loves his job. So how you doing, Mike?
I'm doing all right. This has been a very interesting day so far.
Good. And he's kind of at the Michigan Usability Professionals Association table, representing them. And what is your position at CompuWare?
I'm a usability engineer. What I do there is design user interfaces as well as do some usability testing. It's good work. It's nice. There's some variety there, and it keeps me out of trouble.
So do you do that like wireframing, or do you do the actual graphic design?
We do it pretty much from inception to doing that high level design of wireframing, all the way. Well, I mean, depending on the comfort level of the specific usability engineer, it depends on how far they actually take it. We do have a graphic designer working with us, and personally, I am not a graphic designer at all.
Uh-huh.
So I tend to, you know...
You can't specialize in everything.
Oh, if only. No, I do work closely with her. Well, you know, when I do actually need some graphics, but we encourage that sort of collaboration among the team because we all typical story of usability. We all come from different backgrounds, you know, before actually being accumulated into a single usability team.
Uh-huh. And is your team responsible? Like, are you guys? Do you guys practice any accessibility techniques, or is that more for like the developer side, or how does that work?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure exactly what the state of accessibility in CompuWare is at the moment, but obviously it's important, and everybody can always be doing more.
Good answer, Mike. Well, hey, thanks for taking time out and speaking with us.
No problem. Sorry we didn't actually have any longer.
Yeah. But that's okay. I'm going to grab some more pumpkin pie.
All right. Excellent.
Good meeting you, Mike. Yeah, so Ross and I are leaving the conference now. The last session was a little bit of a disappointer. It was just about driving distractions. The presentation before was really good on podcasts and usability podcasts, and the gentleman was calling for more people actually to do more usability podcasts, which was pretty neat, and he seemed rather impressed when I told him that I was doing an accessibility podcast for over a year. So hopefully we'll get a few listeners out of that.
It seemed like some people wrote down the URL, and he had some good pointers on what they do to edit and present their podcasts.
Yeah, and another question raised was the ability of MP3 players or other devices to read the lyrics or transcription text that's actually embedded in an MP3 file in the ID3 tag. So from now on, I'll start putting the transcriptions in there when they're completed. And I don't know if they'll get used or not, but it'd be a good idea to do that.
One more step for accessibility.
Right. All right, well, we're driving back, Run 96. Looks the same as on the way there, gloomy and rainy.
A little more rainy this time. But we figured we'd do a recap of what was at the usability conference. Apparently this is one of the longest and biggest usability conferences in the States. Is that what they're saying?
I think he said in the state of Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, maybe in the state of Michigan. So we're not that special. But so the first workshop was with Dave Metropolis Rondas, who is the head, I believe, of the Michigan Usability Professionals. And basically, we just went through a bunch of websites that were suggested to him to evaluate their usability, and they pretty much were all. People had stakes in the websites, you know, their company worked on them or their site personally. And he focused on...
And people that were there at the conference.
Yeah, people that were there. Well, some is me, or some is me. Messages.
The tagline?
Yeah, he said it's very important to have a tagline that kind of sums up your whole website or maybe the whole page. Have some kind of logo that identifies what the page is, if there's some kind of branding. So, for example, we looked at the University of Michigan. Said that's really important. You have the University of Michigan logo.
Yeah, because it's a well-branded brand. Whatever.
Yeah, people recognize that. They associate things with it, that sort of thing.
And, for Oakwood Hospital, he even suggested making their logo bigger.
Yeah.
Because, because they're doing a big, like, billboard campaign, and they're well-branded also, so.
Yeah, people really recognize it. See it.
He pointed out in the Michigan logo and something else too, like which was a very valid point about the yellow on the white is not very readable. Or you know, there's not for accessibility, there's not, or usability too. You know, there's not enough contrast there.
Yeah, it makes it very hard to see, especially if you have color blindness
or a poor monitor.
Definitely. what else? So he also talked about. Looking at your target viewers a lot and having information specifically for them. So, for example, on the Michigan site, you had what future students, current students, parents and alumni, each of those had their own category where they could click on and get the information that they would be looking for, as opposed to trying to find like a one size fits all, you know, like donations here and schedules here, you know, it doesn't have to apply to everybody.
You know, I must admit though, he was correct, and Michigan State had their site was very similar, but the main nav was maybe even better because they separated out parents from alumni, whereas Michigan's it was one category, which really are, you know, separate.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, I'm sure there's some alumni who have parents, you know, who have kids that are going there, but
yeah
it's not really the same thing. So I think that was it. We talked a lot about drop-down menus.
Suggested
drop-down menus a lot, but then ultimately said, I don't know if you should use them.
He said how fun they were, but I'm not sure if he was being sarcastic or not.
Yeah.
But he also mentioned, like, you know, just to eliminate a lot of redundancy, and like if you got a million categories, so try to reduce them down so it's just not so complicated and redundant for the user, like, to try to digest them.
Yeah, and you also mentioned if you are going to be redundant, make sure that the titles are exactly the same. Otherwise, people will assume that there's some difference.
Yeah, if they're slightly off, then you don't know, like, is that the same or is that different?
Yeah, so you got to be careful with that. Is there anything else about that, Orson?
I think that's good.
Yeah. So then we had an afternoon session where we had new communication technology for deaf and hard of hearing people. That was done by Christopher Hunter, and he's part of the Michigan Department of Labor and Economic Growth.
Yeah, that was very interesting. He brought up some newer technologies, assistive technologies, such as like in movie theaters, like instead of having open captioning on the screen, like there's newer technologies coming out where like captioning would be viewed like with like a mirror. Like,
yeah, like, I guess there's it was displayed behind them and then the mirror would pick it up.
The moviegoer would take a special device to their seat and place it on their like seat and then be
the cup holder.
The cup holder and make it so they could view the captioning in the back of the theater.
So that was a really cool idea, and you kind of talked about maybe in the future there'll be a headset in the back of the seats. You also mentioned that now there's wireless headphones that will describe the movie to, say, a blind person or someone who has poor vision. They can't quite understand what's going on.
Wait, what else did we talk about? Some new telephone technology.
Yeah, new telephone.
Oh, yeah, and the, relative to web, at least, there's, he went into some web-based technologies for, like, video messaging and things like that. Like,
Different ways to have an interpreter who's watching you do sign language and then reads that to whoever you're talking to who doesn't know sign language, and then they can talk back. Yeah. The interpreter talks, you know, signs it back.
Basically down. Using video technology a couple different ways for the hearing impaired for signing. But the point was brought up that, you know, I don't know, he said not in this century, but maybe in a decade or two, you know, where artificial intelligence gets to the point where it can interpret signaling or create, you know, sign language through words or through
voice recognition.
Or through type. But so that was interesting. So who was next?
Next was the Ford Group, the IT creative design and usability team at Ford Motor Company, and they kind of went through their process as far as making sure that a large-scale project is usable, it's accessible, kind of, you know, all the screens are the same, keep consistent branding. So they kind of just went through their process, you know, looking at their huge company. They've got many different
trying
departments.
Trying to standard, I think they mentioned, standardizing all the applications and everything.
Yeah, because while it's hard to...
websites.
Yeah, it's hard to do, you know, if you go to one giant company and they've got four different applications that all behave differently, you know, it's a little harder to kind of take it all in and make it easier.
So they discussed their process for that, and one thing that we kind of picked up on is they're talking about using CSS for drop-down menus as opposed to JavaScript, but he kept referring to it in a way that made it sound like you still need JavaScript, when there are ways out there that, you know, you can pretty much do pure CSS menus, with the exception of IE6 and below.
Yeah, I wonder if he just said that because he was nervous.
Yeah, that might have been, yeah. Or just kind of trying to, you know, cover the whole, you know, IE6 and below does need JavaScript. Probably if you didn't say you didn't need about JavaScript, we'd be here complaining, saying that, well, you didn't talk about how you need JavaScript to implement it for IE6.
Yeah, but, I mean, basically it was about, usability for their applications, kind of having one group kind of standardize and control, like, all the different web applications and websites within the large corporations.
Yeah, they played a few videos of the usability testing, which was,
that's always very short clips, but yeah. But I guess, you know, they were good.
Yeah, gives you an idea, if you've never done it before, kind of what it's like, you know, one person narrating what they're doing, what they're thinking, and they're having no problem. So that was good. Anything else? Next was podcasting about usability, which was really cool. There's a podcast called Design Critique: Products for People by Timothy Kiernan and Tom Brink, I believe. And they do a podcast on usability, but not just for like web or web design. They go through any products. They talk about iron and one of their cars, a Saturn, a rice cooker.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Yeah, they were a very entertaining pair.
Yeah, they seemed like they had a good dynamic. And, so they kind of talked about doing a podcast. They want to promote, you know, it's a group of usability, people interested in usability, so they want more people to talk about it or do podcasts about it, how to do it, some of the things to consider, accessibility in podcasts.
Yeah, that was good. Too bad. Yeah, I didn't get a chance to talk to him. I'm not sure if it was Tim or Tom, but yeah, I'm going to email those guys and maybe we can trade links or something.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Or we can interview them or they can interview us.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, it seemed interesting, so I'm definitely going to check that one out. And the final one was driver distraction, which we may or may not have skipped out on.
But all in all, it was a worthwhile day. Met a lot of people, traded some cards. So it was pretty good.
Yeah, a lot of good information, and it's always good to talk with people in the same field, see what, you know, they see is going on and things they've learned. So.
Yeah, that was the fourth annual event on Usability Day at MSU, Michigan State University. So we'll try to make it next year.
Yep, you too.
Excellent. And what is it, Dave? Who's sponsoring that? In February, they have in Ann Arbor, they're having some kind of usability conference, right?
Yeah, the
is that the Michigan Usability Association?
Yeah, Usability in Professionals Group.
Yeah, yeah.
It's in here somewhere.
But anyways,
Usability Professionals something group. Okay, association problem.
So. Maybe I'll be maybe we'll be attending that in February, but yeah, it was a good experience.
The WebAx blog and podcast is located at webaxe.blogspot.com, webaxe.blogspot.com. Email webaxe@gmail.com, webaxe@gmail.com. To leave a voice message, call 206-203-0585. WebAx is sponsored by Check Engine USA, website tune-ups and overhauls. www.checkengineusa.com.